Hello and welcome to the Permaculture Vine podcast, episode 2. Today we have Katie Stout, who is in New York State. Can you just introduce yourself, Katie, please?
You got it. Hello, Cormac. Thanks for having me on here. And yeah, my name is Katie. I'm the co-founder with my husband, Andrew, of Regenerative Property Management. And we're a design, install, maintenance, and education permaculture business. So we're trying to introduce Central New York State to edible landscaping and permaculture design. It's pretty unfamiliar around here.
Yeah, that sounds class. We'll get that in a minute, but how did you start in permaculture, and how did you become then taking from sort of discovering permaculture to actually doing your getting work on it? And
So a number of years ago, I've been working on organic farms a lot of my adult life, and organic farming is it's a great step forward from conventional farming, but it's also a lot of backbreaking work, constant weeding, constant watering, and you still see a lot of topsoil blowing away. And so at one point I was working on a farm locally, and the farm manager said, hey, there's this permaculture gathering. It's a meetup down in Syracuse. They're having a, you know, an all day thing with some speakers. And I'm like, well, what's permaculture, you know? And so she told me a little bit about it, and just that it was a system that mimicked natural ecosystems in agriculture. So I was fascinated and went to this all day workshop and was introduced through an organization called the Alchemical Nursery, which is local in Syracuse, New York here. And this guy has been doing permaculture with community food forests and things like that now for, I'd say, over a decade, a little south of us. Just hasn't caught on yet, right? So I learned about it. I got a bug in my ear, and I decided I'm going to find a permaculture design certification so I can learn more about this. I wanted a homestead, and so I wanted to be able to do it right. And I wanted to stop seeing all the soil blow away and stop having to weed constantly, you know, and continually go to the chiropractor and, you know, endless back injury, you know, when you're doing that kind of farm work. So yeah, so I started my permaculture design certification at the Hancock Permaculture Center in Eastern New York State. And I went to a couple of awesome intensive weekends there. And then my work schedule got out of control. My budget disappeared, you know, for various reasons as things come up in life. And so I wasn't able to complete all of the modules at that point. So years will go by. Eventually, my husband and I bought some land in Central New York in Parrish, and we have just under 17 acres of forested property. There's tons of hills. It's all glacial formations and depositions. So it's sandy and rocky and, you know, lots of erosion, and a beautiful little salmon river running through it. And so it's a gorgeous forested property. And we thought, well, you know what we can do is build the soil here. And so that's what we've been trying to do since we got here. So we moved in, and in between teaching, I used to teach full time in higher education. I found an online permaculture certification through the Holistic Homesteading Academy, and it was self-paced. And so it's a great program. They had just all these different modules about, like, you know, theory, practical application. And I'm trying to remember the other category that they had, and design, you know, design. And so, yeah, so I finished that. It took me over a year to finish that, but I did, and realized, like, holy crap, we got way in over our heads before we started on this property. And I had to backtrack and try to, like, redesign and, you know, figure out like how do I troubleshoot the stuff that I know I did wrong.
So you didn't know what you didn't know.
yeah. And so like thank God for permaculture as a systems approach, you know, and the skills that we can get, you know, when we learn how to apply these principles, you know. And so it's, you know, it's been a journey since then. We've been here now 4.5 years. We put in over 80 fruit and nut trees and bushes last year. We've been sheet mulching different parts of the like the south facing roadside garden for about 4 years. And I just recently looked back at pictures about where we started, what it looked like, and what we had accomplished last year in our growing season. And you know, sometimes you look at what you're doing right now and you're like, ah, crap, you know, like we haven't done this, you know. But I looked at that and I was like, man, we really did something, you know, like that. It's so much more fertile up there now. And it's just, it feels good, like having that comparison.
Yeah, it's good. I think that's what, as Jeff Lawton advises, just take plenty of photographs, because you don't realize where you've come from and what you've done. And we can all be hard on ourselves at times and like that when you don't get through your list every year.
Yeah.
But then when you look at what you've done, it's always good. I always make sure I look back on that. And then even when you're talking to people in consults or stuff, you realize then even how much you're learning as you go. So like 4 years and now you're homesteading 4 years, you must have a lot of knowledge gathered and built up about your own property and permaculture in general.
Yeah, and lots of trial and error, you know. I feel like we learn the most from our own failures, and when other people share their failures, that's one thing I loved about my design certification I took from the Holistic Homesteading Academy, is that they're super open about sharing stuff that didn't work. And then like for me, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense, you know, like to see something work perfectly is one thing. But to see something, you know, you try it and it's like, well, here's the reasons why this didn't work the way we thought. It's like a whole nother view on the system, you know, when you actually throw the cogs into the system. And
it may work for someone down the road from me, but just not work for you.
Yeah.
I think that's important to remember too. In permaculture, basically, it's a solution for your property.
Yeah.
So you, after doing your PDC then, were you still working in, so you were working in education, did you, how did you then get, they start to work then in permaculture after your PDC? Did you get a design job or?
That's another good question. So, I got my PDC mostly because I thought like, this is going to be helpful just for us developing this property. We actually donated the property to, our church. And because we really want it to be this, you know, oasis in perpetuity, you know, clean water, clean food, places to stay, you know, eventually that's what we're working on right now. And so it was really for that. And I didn't see myself having a career in permaculture because I had been working for 15 years, you know, being an English professor. And I had finally gotten a full-time job as, you know, running a writing center at our community college. And I thought, well, okay, here's where I'm at. This is good money. You know, it'll fund our projects. I wasn't happy though. You know, it was a lot of political and administrative nonsense, you know, that I was having to deal with all the time. It didn't make any sense to me. I was tutoring English. That seemed pretty straightforward. But you know, as it goes in big corporate entities, you know, there's fear, a lot of fear. And I was feeling it. And so I was considering leaving, and then COVID hit, shut down everything. My husband's a chiropractor, and we had just opened an office for him in our local town, and he was just getting rolling. We were like 3 months in, and he was doing great, like with basically no marketing, just word of mouth. We were in the black for our first month, and then boom, COVID came. Completely closed his office down, had to give it up. We just couldn't keep up with the bills and stuff at that point. And then I knew it was coming. I got laid off just a couple months after that. They completely eliminated my position. Went to like online tutoring pretty much, you know, for the college from a consortium of, you know, state tutors or whatever. And so all of a sudden we found ourselves like cut loose, you know? And so we talked, you know, we're like, well, what do we want to do? Like, where are our hearts, you know, right now? And for Andrew to try to reopen a chiropractic office, you know, it was just too much. Like that was a big blow, you know? Cause we put our savings into that, you know, we really didn't have anything in reserve to just start something new right away. And so we're like, all right. Andrew had been working in traditional landscaping for about a decade, helping a buddy of his that he went to school with build his business up. And so he had a lot of experience in traditional landscaping and making, you know, putting in ornamentals and mulching and edging and making things look pretty and hardscaping and all that stuff. And then I had this permaculture design certification and a bunch of experience on our homestead, you know, planning and replanning and redoing and replanting, you know? And we talked about it. We're like, well, why don't we start an edible landscaping company? You know, let's try this out. And so we kind of tabled it because we just, you know, we didn't have the courage, you know, to really go for it at that point. And then all of a sudden we heard about food forest abundance and what they were doing, you know, with a franchise basically to do edible landscaping. And we thought, well, let's hook up with them. Let's see what they're up to. And it really gave us the courage, you know. I got trained up on professional designing, you know, like thanks in a large part to like your network, your organization, Cormac, and you know, and all of the like the wonderful computer aspects of design and all that stuff, and generating a portfolio, and you know, and then getting trained up on just basic estimating, you know, doing estimates for installations. It's a big learning curve, you know. And really the only way to learn how to do it, I think, is to do it. You can do your own projects. We do a lot of estimates now for our own projects, different prospectus for, you know, like this Kickstarter we've got going on to build our first guest house here. And, you know, so first we did an estimate, you know, we put together all the list of all the materials and the time we thought, and, you know, what's this going to take? And just like, you know, what we would put out to a customer, like, this is how much we would need to actually be successful on this project. And so that's a huge learning curve, you know, if you're doing big, complicated installations, you know, if you're redoing somebody's entire landscape with permaculture.
So, yeah, it's something I'm looking at this year. So to complement sort of the online design side, to actually get my hands a bit dirtier and start the edible landscaping company. I have a company, Edible Installs, which is a local company here.
Nice.
So I'll have to pick your brain on that one.
Oh yeah, please do.
To get started. Yeah. So basically, all I'm going to do is service the lawnmower and the strummer and fill the trailer.
Yeah.
And see where it goes from there.
Sweet.
Have to get pick your brain about that one.
Awesome. Yeah.
And as you say, it's just what I found with this anyway, is just getting started, getting momentum is very important. Just doing.
Yeah, just going for it, you know, and like it can be scary because you're working with people who they have expectations, you know. They're anxious about it. They want to hire the right people. You know, it's an investment. It's a significant investment to do any kind of landscaping on your property, you know, and if you're putting money into putting food on your property, like you want to be productive, you know, and it's just like, there's a lot of deliverables and, you know, and you've got to show up at the right time and leave at the right time and make sure that, you know, that's all communicated and agreed upon. And, you know, and everybody has to get paid, and you know, and there's all the back end part with insurance and getting your business, you know, on the interwebs and the, you know, that's what we're working on now, is like a lot of marketing and updating the websites and, you know, getting our photo decks updated and all this stuff. And you think like, I always think like the winter might be a time to rest. It's really just like all these projects that piled up from the summertime when we were out planting, that like, okay, I gotta catch up on this now, and I gotta do my accounting and put in all the receipts and get ready for tax season and all
Well,
that stuff.
so what do you find the most challenging in running a permaculture business?
The most challenging right now is making sure, is really getting in front of the right people, right? So right now, most of our clients we travel to. We're traveling 3+ hours to do installations for folks, and there's just a learning curve. It's a relatively new, I mean, it's not new, you know, it's been around since the 70s, but in our area specifically, like permaculture requires a lot of education, you know, for people to understand what it is. And so we've rebranded to regenerative property maintenance, because for us to start engaging people in conversations about what we do, what we're doing is doing regular maintenance. You know, like we'll come and we'll clean out gutters, we'll do cutbacks in the fall. People ask us to do leaf removal, and we'll do it, but we're using it as a way to talk about leaves as a resource, you know. And most people aren't, you know, that are looking for that, they're just like, get these leaves out of here, right? And we take them, you know, like if we load them onto a trailer and we're like, can we, you know, can we take these leaves? We're going to turn them into compost. And then they're like, okay, you know, and they start thinking a little bit. And I think that gradual introduction to, you know, sort of plugging those energy leaks and using the resources that are here and understanding that like the leaf fall is really necessary, you know, to continue to build the soil health and to provide habitats for overwintering, you know, ant like little amphibians and stuff like that, you know. It's a way in. And then of course we always need compost. We're trying to build soil here, so we just dump it on our property and, you know, cover our plants up for the fall. And one of these days, I know we're gonna crack some of those people that we've been doing the traditional maintenance for, and you know, because they're interested, they ask questions. But yeah, that's really been the biggest challenge, is just helping people understand what we do and helping them understand the value in it, you know, especially over time. So to do that, we're really building up a demonstration site on our property, on our roadside. And it's the roadside's where I've been sheet mulching for like 4 years now, and so the fertility is really nice, and I just need to make it look pretty, you know. We've got to do all the fancy stuff so it looks like something that people would be okay having in their front yard or their backyard.
Yeah, I get a lot of grief for that because my front garden, I let it grow, the dandelions grow, and like some
Yeah.
people look at it in horror, like, "Oh, them dandelions!" And I says, "Isn't it great? They're fixing my garden for me."
Yeah,
They're
exactly.
doing a great job, and then instead of pulling them up and ripping them up, and
Yeah.
nettles as well. People look at the nettles and go, "Ah, the nettles the weans," and I go, "It's grand. Just they're great. A nettle
Yeah.
tea."
Yeah, I was propagating nettles. I planted some. I was like, I'm gonna put a nice little row over here. We're gonna, you know, a little out of the way, you know, so we're not walking through them all the time getting stung. But yeah, like dandelions, every time I go for a walk up and down our road during dandelion season, I kick them, you know, I spread the seeds all over the place. Like, we need more in our yard. Let's throw them over here. And
It shows you how permaculture is so far off the norm, that
yeah.
something that's considered like leaves, considered trash, they throw them, bag them and throw them,
Yeah, it's
and
wild.
spend oil and resources to take them somewhere else. It's like,
Yeah.
this is like free fertilizer for your garden, free habitat. Bring the bugs in that'll help your plants grow. And it's when you, I find anyway, once you start figuring these things out and you have that mind shift, there's, it makes a big difference, you know, less stress, more abundance, more stuff about. And I used to get all the grass clippings from wherever I could get them, and I'd compost them.
Nice.
But now I don't get so much because we have a brown bin. So our council takes all our brown bin away. They put it through a big anaerobic digester, I think.
Hmm.
And they compost it as well. So that's a change. And the challenges, there's, but that Pete Canaris, I think, says that as well in No Green Dreams, Florida. He's a YouTube channel. He said, basically, when you're, don't sell a permaculture business, sell an edible garden business. Yeah. And you're using permaculture, but you have to do it by stealth almost.
True. You know, you can't, like, I get so excited talking to people about weeds. And it was crazy to me because a friend of mine who did her permaculture design certification before I did, we worked together at one of the local colleges for a while. And she and I, with another couple friends, we pitched a permaculture living lab to put on our campus. And the campus went for it. It was great, you know. UMass Amherst has a really excellent permaculture program for their campus. And so we went and did a training there and then sort of brought what we learned back to our home campus. And so my friend really took off with it and, you know, ended up managing it. And, you know, at first they didn't want to pay anybody to do any sort of maintenance or work or anything, you know. And thank God, you know, she figured out a way to sell the idea that, like, this is actually, like, super helpful and a great resource and learning opportunity for people, you know, in all these disciplines all over campus. But one of the things that blew my mind about her is she's just like, I hate dandelions. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? like you can use them this way, this way, this way. They're good for this, this, and this in the garden, you know? And she's just like, I just can't stand them. And I'm like, no, you got to let go of that programming, you know? Like, this is, they're majestic, you know? Like, look at them. They're like little tiny lion's manes, you know? Like, bursts of sunshine. And, like, they do so much for the soil. Like, so much.
Yeah, for the soil, for the bees. There's nothing else about it that time of year.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were introduced in the United States. Like, they were brought over from, you know, colonists and quickly adapted by the indigenous people, you know, because they're so useful.
Mm.
So that's, I mean.
And you read your weeds. That's.
Yeah.
I think people have to understand that the weed's there for a reason. If you weren't there, that weed has chosen to grow there. Therefore, it's fulfilling a purpose.
Yeah.
And I like that. I think Jeff Lawton did an experiment where he talks about, if you say you get a patch of ground and you burn some of the ground and you put the basically four pieces of ground that are slightly different and you throw a pile of weed seeds on them, the different weed seeds will germinate in different circumstances depending on what's there. So it's just that's I butchered that a wee bit, but it's sort of, you get the meaning. It's basically the weed seed's there for a purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, it's fun to watch, too. I think one of the reasons why, definitely one of the reasons why it doesn't look as, you know, quote unquote pretty here, you know, like in a standard aesthetic way, or in whatever people do with their landscape these days, is because I like watching to see what happens, you know? And whereas when we started this roadside garden, it was basically all dewberries. Just like, you know, very acidic soil and these thorny vines, you know, that just grow across the ground and produce little tiny blackberry looking things, and they taste good. You know, it was all that. And now we have, like, every year different kinds of weeds coming up. And so we've got lots and lots of yarrows and Queen Anne's lace and black-eyed Susans, and we had a new one this year. I don't even know what it's called, but it's got these beautiful bright pink flowers, you know, that just drop seeds everywhere. And so I was grabbing them and just throwing the seeds all over the place. Like, let's get more of these flowers around, you know, and more dandelions. We had no dandelions, but I've been throwing dandelion, you know, seeds, kicking them in our direction for a couple of years now. And, you know, and just finding the berry bushes. We've got a lot of blackberry bushes. And so just finding those, pruning them, you know, staking them up a little bit. And now we produce a ton of blackberries, you know, just by kind of seeing like, oh, hey, they're here. Let me give them a little bit of attention. Let me look at them, you know, create a relationship, pick them when they're ripe, you know, tell them like, yeah, we like you, keep producing more. And, you know, and prune them back just a little bit, you know, and I don't go crazy with pruning because our winters tend to prune stuff for us. You know, we get some gnarly weather here. And, you know, just, I feel like when you pay attention to plants and interact with them, they just grow better. Like they grow a lot and they produce more and they know. They just want to give you stuff.
Yeah. it's not that complicated. Like it's, I think as you said, it's just that programming and we lost our connection to food and it took very quick, what, 2 generations? Three generations.
Yeah.
And it's just everybody's squeamish about composting or just the relationship with food. They won't eat a dandelion out of their garden. They won't, it's like, well, I have to get it from the supermarket. So I think that's where we need these businesses. We need people working in permaculture to promote this stuff. So I like your approach that you do, that you sort of do it by stealth. You're a regenerative property manager, but then you're sort of thinking that long-term plan of actually being there to speak to people on the ground who might actually want to design. And then you said you have an education center, you hold courses as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to call it an education center, but we do, we host workshops. So between our place and the main church for our organization, Awakening Consciousness Fellowship. It's a non-denominational church. People study, you know, self-realization through meditation and things like that. We do workshops there and here, and we've done them on composting, brewing compost tea, sheet mulching, different kinds of mushroom inoculation. We've done a lot with the mushroom inoculation because we have a great place for that. We've done a lot of regenerative forestry work. We actually applied for and received a grant last year. Maybe it was a year before. Yeah. For the DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation, Regenerate New York program. And so we had a forester come in and help us create a plan to open up our forest canopy with selective removal of like low vigor, diseased trees, that kind of thing, to give more room for timber trees to grow and develop. So we can actually harvest those for lumber at some point when they're large enough. We harvested some lumber trees already in the part of this grant. And then to sort of reduce vegetation that competes and will overtake. And so this is like a very natural process, right? So we have like a lot of beech in our forest, and beech does awesome in dense shade and can grow and sprout like crazy in an understory. And they do that and they crowd out everything else. And so so you end up with a beech forest, right? And they're beautiful and they produce beech nuts and, you know, it's a perfectly natural process. They're not, you know, they're called like invasive or whatever, but like, it's just, you know, like we just have a different plan that we want for this land right now. and it's to have more diversity here. So we can produce like a diverse selection of food for humans and wildlife, have things like maple tapping, you know, allow the maples to thrive, that kind of thing, you know? And so we're reducing the number of beech in our forest. We're reducing the number of certain types of ferns because they sort of crowd out understory plants and spread like crazy. Ferns are also great mulch, by the way. So we weed whack them in the spring and fall. Yeah. And just leave them, you know, and they're like a nice, slowly decomposing mulch. So they keep the moisture in there. They add a lot of nutrients to the soil. And then we covered up like oak saplings. Like we protected like little baby oak saplings and tree tubes. And so that's going to be like more for timber harvest, you know, selectively in years to come, and to produce acorns. And, you know, we've got acorns raining down on us right now from an oak tree. You
Lovely.
know, not right now, but like, you know, during acorn season, they just, you know, they plunk all over the tin roof. That's kind of fun. So,
That's handy for collecting them. And you said there you're starting a Kickstarter fund or a Kickstarter campaign, I think it's they call them. And what's that for?
We've got it going right now, and it's going for like another week. I think through the 23rd is the last day to contribute. We started off with like this awesome momentum, and then it just like stopped. So please take a look at it. But it's to build our first like guest house slash workshop space. So we've got space here. We live in a it's a tiny home. It's basically an Amish shed that we converted into a place to live. We haven't spent a whole lot of time on it because we're always out working outside. And so, you know, we have visitors here, but like not really any space for people inside. And so it really limits our workshops to be like during one specific part of the year. And that's our busiest time of year also. So we want to be able to have people out here to learn about permaculture. To learn about wellness. Like I said, my partner Andrew is a chiropractor also. I'm a yoga instructor, meditation instructor, and we just want to be able to welcome people into this space to stay, learn, even if they just want to get away from, you know, the nonsense and the BS of the world, you know, have like a nice private spot out in nature. It's beautiful here, you know. There's nature walks, nature trails. There's amazing salmon fishing in my area in
Now
September.
we're talking.
And basically at like everything sells out. Rentals sell out all over our area during September and October for this crazy salmon fishing season. And so we know that that could meet a need as well for people coming into the area and fishing. And
And introducing the permaculture at the
yeah, you know,
same
that's the deal. Like,
time.
it's another one of those avenues in. It's like somebody who loves the outdoors, who loves to go fishing, you know, for whatever reason, they can be here and just see what permaculture can do, you know. And that's really the idea, is like, hey, I, you know, how'd you do that? Or like, I noticed you've got food all over the place. Like, that's really cool. And you know, that kind of thing. So get people experiencing it and talking about it, you know, and really seeing the benefits it can have, you know, not just for making something pretty or having a nice snack, you know, but to really fix a lot of the issues that our world is dealing with right now, you know.
Well, they're all solvable in a garden. Is
They
that
are. It's so
what?
straightforward, and it seems way too easy, you know, but it's really not. It's just let's build soil, you know.
I'll stick on my tinfoil hat. My beef is just all the solutions that come up with. It's just to make people money. They never come up with an easy solution. It's like it's always these big fancy solutions. That somebody has to make a profit, it drives me nuts. So I just ignore it. So I just switch it off.
That's one of the best things I've ever done in my life is stop watching the news, stop watching television, stop watching advertisements. You know, not that I don't have like a Netflix habit, because I do, you know, not perfect, but just like turning off the fear, you know, just like
it's constant. I just get out in the garden and grow stuff. That's for me, it's as simple as that. Just get out, go for a walk. Just it. You can't affect. It'll affect you. You can't affect it, but you can affect it if you just turn it off and go outside. Because does that?
Absolutely. You know, you don't give it your attention, and it the power is completely gone. They don't they lose the power, you know, and that's what it is, a war for attention. And
And
you know,
I still know what's going on in the world, even though I don't watch the news or TV. I watch a wee bit of TV, but not that much. So I'll put a link for that Kickstarter in the description, I think. Isn't that what they say? click a link here.
Yeah, click a link.
Over there. Just last thing, I will wrap us up. Advice for people who are sort of either looking to get into permaculture as a career, really, what would you have any advice for them?
Yeah, I mean, part A, something I learned is a permaculture design certification is really helpful. It really is. And I don't know, find one that you like. You know, if you want to go travel to, you know, a tropical island for 3 weeks and get your certification there, awesome. You know, like, that sounds cool, but that wasn't my lifestyle. And so I did the, you know, study from home kind. And there's really good ones out there, people doing a lot of good stuff. So I would go for that. You know, it's affordable. And then just try it, you know, like, even if you're not getting your certification first things first, you know, look at Vine Permaculture and the stuff that they put out, you know, look at anything you can find online, you know, like, watch some videos, try something, you know, brew some compost tea. Like, it's it sounds weird and funky, but it's just like, okay, if I follow these steps, you know, I can do this. And if anybody wants to brew compost tea, you know, I'll teach you. Like, send me an email, whatever, you know. Ask questions, like, reach out. Permaculturists, like, we all want to talk about what we're doing. We all want to teach, you know. We all want to, like, it's what we live for, is sharing this stuff. And, you know, like, don't be afraid to just throw some seeds in the ground, see what happens. You know, that's, I coach some clients and they're like, I've never started a seed before, you know. And I remember demonstrating, you know, just taking a seed packet, just sort of tapping it in, you know, little arugula seeds. And my client and her daughter were like, wow, you're really good at that. And I'm like, I am. And then she took pictures, you know, she's like, oh, I seeded the rest of these and I seeded radishes. And she sent me pictures of them growing, you know, and everybody can grow food. Everybody can do it.
And it's very empowering. And for me, like, once you taste salad from your own garden, particularly lettuce, because everybody can grow lettuce. Doesn't take that long. I didn't know lettuce tasted of anything before I grew my own. I can't eat lettuce from anywhere else now because it just doesn't taste nice. And when you're picking it out the back, and it's basically on your I didn't even wash it. You're picking it off the back and you're eating it straight away. You're putting it in your plate. It's like no food miles. There's no nutrient loss, and it's the best food you get. And to me, then that's what sort of, it'll get you going. Then you go, right, what else can I grow?
Yeah.
But and then in terms of business as well, so you get your PDC, do your PDCD professional course at Vine Permaculture. that'll teach you professional design.
Yeah.
And anything else? Do maybe do a free design for somebody to showcase your skills and just to see then. And for me, the biggest problem I see with the new designers is they want to put everything on the page. Mm. But you have to sort of tailor it to your customer and where they're at.
Yeah, so, that's a great point. Mm. Yeah, because like when I did sector maps of our place, I have like 10 drawings of different, you know, different views and different perspectives, you know, looking at the different sectors, and the client doesn't need to see that, you know, but you need, that's something that you probably need to do to get, you know, a sense of a property. Or that's, you know, that's what I need to do to get a sense of a property, is to have, like, I created a spreadsheet, you know, in Google Drive, like, okay, here's all my sector mapping resources. And I would copy it and then fill it in for each of my clients, you know, like link to files, link to online stuff, you know, link to their web soil survey, that kind of stuff, you know, just to.
Yeah, I think I should. We worked together on that project. I think you showed me that before.
Yeah. So like finding a way to be organized, you know, that works for you, I think is like a big deal. You know, when you start managing a bunch of clients, and if you have stuff all over the place, it can be just a giant pain, you know.
Google Drive's your friend.
Yeah. Google might be watching, but like, I kind of want Google to see what we're doing, you know? Like, this was some cool stuff.
Everybody's watching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Katie, that was really interesting. Thanks very much for sharing your story.
Yeah, I always love speaking with you, Karmic, and you know, it's you enliven my life with your fancy accent, so as well as your fancy ideas.
Thanks very much. And that's great. And
Thank
you can
you.
Kitty's links are all in the description. If you want to go to your Kickstarter or regenerative property services, is that right?
Yeah, regenerative property management. So
Property
it's,
management.
I'll throw my website up to growrpm.org.
That's
So
great. And thanks again. We'll see you
thank you
all.
for having
See you
me.
there. Thanks. Cheers.